talk about how this innovation pathway works, what the process is, how things come into it, and what comes out of it.
Well, the innovation pathway is but one component of an initiative that we launched at the Center for Devices. And it can be looked at in two broad categories. One is, how can we get the innovators engaged in medical technology development in a way that impacts people? And the second is, how can we look internally at the way we do business more broadly, not merely restricted to those one or two game-changing technologies that come along, but really how the innovation, even on an evolutionary basis, even the incremental stuff, can be handled more effectively by our agency.
All right, if I'm a medical device manufacturer, what does this do for me differently, or what does this add to my process in other than just me coming up with this device, or my company's R&D department coming up with this device and testing it on its own? What does the innovation pathway make better for me?
Well, I think that it's interesting to look at some of the recent studies that have been done to look at how the process works and how medical technology development is occurring here in the U.S. There was a Price Waterhouse report that came out recently that whether you're a regulator or an entrepreneur, whether you're a doctor or a patient, Republican, Democrat, optimist or pessimist, it spells out pretty clearly that there's concern that the U.S. is potentially at risk of losing its place as leading in innovation in medical technology. So this program is designed to address that head on, to take on these difficult questions. Specifically, if you're a company, you're going to look at this initiative and you may start to wonder if you're a company that's focused largely on maintaining its market share of the status quo. But I think we also all know that the healthcare system cannot continue the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be looking to the people who are interested and capable to produce the game changers.
What kind of volume are we talking about here? How many different technologies can you manage at one time? Can you put through this process?
Well, you're touching on a key issue, which is resources. And in these times, with the way budgets go, and all of the requirements that already exist, it's really going to be a small number. But it's not really the number of products that's important here. I think what we have to look at is where the field is. If you look back in the history of technology development, healthcare development, what you see is there are times in history where challenges are put forth that really affect only a very, very small number of people in reality, but they gather the best and the brightest, the creative, the ones with the analytic skills and insight, the Thomas Edisons, who can then step forward to that challenge and be the one or two that we might take on at a time that have the potential to really transform patients' lives and the healthcare system.
How do you make those decisions? I imagine you get a few Thomas Edison type devices, and then you get a whole bunch of Francis Rose devices, which if I was sending you something, it would just be a bunch of nothing. How do you determine which are the ones that really deserve the attention of the innovation pathway?
Well, that's a really tough question, and I think you've honed in on one of the critical areas where we're willing to take the first step at proposing a decision-making approach, but we're looking to get engagement from a broad array of people who have a horse in the race, and that's why we have a workshop in March. It's easy to say that a device that presents to us that's going to take care of my gray hair is not as important as a device that is essentially an artificial liver that can save someone's life. That's easy, but there's a lot of gray zones. So there's going to be subjectivity involved here, especially because we're looking at products very early in their development.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that it's going to be difficult. We may not get it right every time, but without making some decisions and really applying our experience and insight and working with experts outside the FDA and outside the government potentially, the inertia is not going to fix the problem. At some point, an organization or a group of people have to take a stand and put their necks out and say, we're going to look for those game changers. And our first test case, I think, is a game changer. If you think of someone who's paralyzed from spinal cord injury, who's a quadriplegic, who has the chance to look at this product, which is a brain-controlled arm and hand that has the same movement, same degrees of freedom and dexterity as the human hand in theory, I mean, if it turns out to work that way, well, that's pretty transformational to take someone who can't brush their teeth or feed him or herself or sit up in bed and give them the chance to have those normal activities at a very base level. That's transformational.
I'm trying to think of the thought process that will go into this, and risk assessment isn't the right thing, I guess, but maybe success assessment, to coin a phrase, might be where you and your team are trying to determine this is potentially transformational, but we're not sure it has much of a chance of success. Here's one that's maybe not as transformational, but we think this one has a really good chance to work. There's probably a matrix that you're going to develop if you haven't already. Am I headed in the right direction? They're trying to figure out how you're going to think through these things?
Yeah, you are, Francis, and I like the optimistic label of success criteria versus risk criteria. And really what it requires is integration of both. So one of the things that's unique about the way the FDA works as a regulator compared to many other regulators is we can't do a strict risk assessment, because if all we look at is the risk of these aspirational products, these potential products in development, nothing will come to market. And that's going to hurt people who've got life-altering or life-threatening diseases, because we prevent those valuable products from getting to market. So it's about integrating risk and benefit.
Jonathan, if you like that term success assessment, you can use that royalty-free.
That's nice. I'll make sure I give proper attribution.
You don't even have to do that. It's on the house.